And I just say, having going to preach next week, this is an amazing book, okay? We are on an exciting journey with God over the next few weeks. And without building it up too much, hand over to John.
Thank you. Thank you. Great. Good morning, everybody. I presume I'm switched on. Yep, can hear myself coming through. Lovely to see you. I've got a bit of a slightly longer sermon today than normal, which I know is going to cause a number of people to have a sharp intake of breath. But get some oxygen in quick before you pass out. There's almost two sections to it, actually, because we're looking at a new series, the Book of Isaiah. And so today what I wanted to do was actually spend the first part of the sermon looking at what is the background to the book, and almost as a help out of the blocks for the whole series. And then I've got a sort of mini sermon on the end, actually, which I feel God's spoken to us for today, which is good. Who here has heard of the Book of Isaiah? About half of us, which is really disconcerting. Okay, many of us familiar with sections of Isaiah. There's parts that we read particularly around Christmas, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's other things, other sections of it about he will take our infirmities upon us, and like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. You know, we know those sections. And there may be parts of this book, like there is for me, which are particularly special, which over the years of your Christian life, God has really spoke to you. There's a part in there for me about enlarging the place of my tent and stretching the tent curtains wide to the left and to the right and not holding back. And I felt that's been a passage which God has spoken to me over 20 years at least. And probably once a year I suddenly find myself back at that passage thinking God wants to say something slightly new and slightly different and encourage me again. Keep stretching left, keep stretching. So we have these passages in this book, and it's a wonderful book. Some people call it the Bible in miniature. You might have heard that because it's got 66 chapters, which is the same as the number of books in the Bible. And some people call it the Bible in miniature because actually the first, let me get this right, 39 books are a bit more about judgment, a bit like the Old Testament is, and the next 27 books, like the New Testament, are a bit more about hope. So some people say, oh, it's a bit like the Bible in miniature. Well, I'm not going to go too far down that. I don't think it's like a hidden secret thing from God that he wants us to think it's the Bible in miniature. But what we're going to do, why are we looking at Isaiah? The first thing is, whilst we may know some of those favourite parts of Isaiah, we want over the next, we're going to do 5 or 6 weeks, well, 5 weeks now, then we'll have a little break for Easter, and then we'll do 5 weeks after Easter. We actually want us as a church to hear, okay, what is God's whole message of Isaiah? What is he saying? What's he saying in the bits that we don't normally read? What are the themes in there? What are the messages? What does God say? How does it apply to us today? What can I take from Isaiah for me today living in Luton? And I hope also what comes out is not just about the Book of Isaiah, but also I want you to feel confident about the Book of Isaiah, but also confident about reading any of the prophetic books in the Old Testament. So I really hope that one of the things that comes out is that God, although the prophets were people, how long would it go be now? 2,800 years ago, most of them were speaking. We believe that God has relevance of those words in our lives today. So there will be bits which sound a bit like when I start off this morning, it's teaching a little bit so that we understand what was going on 2,800 years ago. But the reason we do that is because if we can understand what was going on and what God was saying, that's the first step to us understanding, well, in that case, that's what God's saying to me today. And God loves to speak through his Bible. So what I decided to do is I've tried to come up, praise God, I felt he gave me this little nugget as I went for a walk on Tuesday night. I've come up with a top five facts, and I've put them on a slide, and I sent it to the other people that are going to be preaching in the series. And if you can remember these top five, and there will be a slight challenge there in a minute, if you can remember these top five, then actually I think every time you sit down to read Isaiah, you will be able to start working out what's going on. And I was tempted to do a number five, you know, whatever the chart is. But there we go. So I've come up with a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 5. Let's start. The first thing we need to know is that people have different opinions on this, but we believe that Isaiah is authored by one person. We believe that it is a book from one prophet. Now, if we think about Isaiah was obviously either a member of the royal family or someone that was very senior in the king's court and like a lord or lady of their time, if you like. We know that because, number one, Isaiah is clearly very educated. Isaiah writes in poetry and prose and interweaves all these different arguments throughout his book. He's obviously someone who's been very well educated. But the other thing we see about Isaiah, most of it is prophecy, but there are sections in the book where there's small bits of narrative where it says, on such and such a day, I went to this place and I did this. And on two or three occasions in the book, the person that he goes to speak to is the king. Now, in those days, you don't just, like in these days, you don't just stroll up to King Charles and say, oh, by the way, I've got a prophetic word that I'd like to bring you. Linda tried it last week, and it didn't go very well. She's currently awaiting prosecution from the palace guard. Yeah, that is a lie. That is a lie. Didn't know, yeah. No, trust me, I'm a liar. That is a joke. But obviously Isaiah is very well educated, and obviously he has access to the king. In fact, to numbers of kings. There's different kings we'll see in Isaiah. So it's not just one, it's another. In Jewish tradition, which isn't in the Bible, but in some old Jewish books, they say that Isaiah was the brother to the king, I think is what they say. Yeah. Okay. The reason some people think there's not one Isaiah, but they think Isaiah is a book was written by two or three people, or what they call Isaiah's school of disciples, is because of two reasons, really. I'm going to tell you what those reasons are, because I want us to get past them. The first reason is, the first part of the book, there are some references to things in his life. He talks about his wife, he talks about his children. Not much, but they are there. After the first section of Isaiah, after chapter 40, there are no more of those personal references. And so some people say, oh, well, it can't be written by him then. The other reason is that actually, in Isaiah chapter 44, one of the things that Isaiah predicts is that 100 years in the future, there's going to be a king called Cyrus who's going to swoop down from Babylon and he's going to destroy and take everything away. And people say, he cannot have known that. He can't have known that it was going to happen in 150 years, and he can't have known, because the name